Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hub Arkish is here, and we welcome him to the Aurelio's Pizza Hotline. It's the sauce. Hub, hello.
How are we doing, guys?
We're doing very, very well, and are you ready for your people?
I am. Looking forward to it.
Good. Well, then you will say hello to Ed in Downers Grove. He is on the score with Hub. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, guys. Hi, Hub. Hub, I have a question. While I'm thoroughly enjoying this year's season, I'm going to ask a question that touches on the negative. The Bears are attempting to be what I think is the third super team to win a Super Bowl that is offensive scheme that just tries to out-scheme you every play. I think Belichick and Brady do this regularly. The Eagles did it last year, and now the Bears are trying to do this. My question is, do you think that's, I mean, is that sustainable? Is that something that could happen year after year, game after game? Do you think that'd put too much pressure on any one guy? Because it's kind of new to me.
Well, you know, Ed, I guess the problem is I really don't agree with your premise. I don't think that the Bears are trying to win simply by out-scheming other teams. What they're trying to do is put in a state-of-the-art offense of the future. Matt Nagy has told us, he's told us repeatedly, actually, that it's going to take at least 2 years to get it all in. And what we're seeing is the early returns from it. So, now, if you're referring to some of the fun that they're having, the occasional trick play and this and that, I get where you're coming from, but that's not really the basis of the offense. So, no, I think that they're just trying to be cutting edge as to where the NFL is on offense right now. And I think once the entire package is in, they're not going to be out scheming people. They're just going to be relying on what works the best, and they're trying to figure out right now what all that is.
312-644-6767. Dial that number if you got a question or comment, Bears or NFL, for our expert Hub Arkish. Here is Frank in Oak Park on the score. Fire away, Frank.
Hey, guys. Roxy Music, real good, and Brian Eno, a guy who collaborated with, I think, just about everybody at one point or another. So good additions. Hub, I've got questions about the O-lines of the Vikes and the Bears. First, Minnesota. Early this week, the Vikings fired their OC, John DeFilippo. If I remember correctly, this is the same team that put two or three starting blockers on IR in the preseason. Further, the Purple Gang had their offensive line coach, Tony Sparano, die right before the real season started. How much of Minnesota's offensive problems were John D's schemes and play calling, and how much was the team's inability to block them? Regarding the Bears, it was good seeing Jordan Howard running much more effectively the last 2 weeks. At first, I thought that Adam Shaheen's return to the lineup had improved the Bears' double-team blocks. However, when the cable cam showed several of Howard's better runs against the Rams from behind, there were no tight ends near either tackle. Hub, were the Bears, as Matt Forte implied on Comcast, tricking the Rams with inside runs from an outside zone look, or just blocking the previous running plays better?
Well, Frank, there's some debate up in Minnesota, and I think people who are regular listeners know that I'm a huge Mike Zimmer fan, and part of that is because I'm as impressed by the man as I am by the coach, but I do think he's an outstanding football coach as well. And there's a suggestion, at least, that maybe some of DeFilippo's failures are as a result of Zimmer trying to do what he wanted to do without the manpower to do it. I think it was just Nick Easton, just one of the starting offensive linemen that went down in the preseason, but it was a question mark on the Vikings going in, and they have had injuries, and then Dalvin Cook, of course, got hurt at some point, although Latavius Murray was doing very well. So I think it's kind of a combination of things that went wrong in Minnesota, but it's certainly also points to, you know, how quickly John DeFilippo's star rose. Remember, he'd never called plays. He'd never been a coordinator. And I just don't think he was ready. You know, not everyone works out like the Matt Nagy hire has. So you got Matt LaFleur, went from the Rams to Tennessee, and they struggled on offense too. As far as the Bears running game Sunday night, I think that it was actually not that the Bears out-schemed the Rams, that the Rams out-schemed themselves. And we've talked about this a little bit. I think Olin and I were talking about this again last night. For some reason, Wade Phillips chose to give the Bears the inside. He kept lining Ndamukong Suh up outside, and he even moved Aaron Donald a little wider at times than he usually does. I thought that Harry Hiestam, and I'm sure in connection with Mark Helfrich and Nagy, had a brilliant game plan as far as what they did do with some double teaming. The Bears did choose to dress Michael Burton, who hadn't dressed in 7-8 weeks, so they put a fullback in. Yeah, that wasn't a scheme. That's just a personnel decision. How are we going to block them? So the combination of the double teams, the chips, the misdirection, and some power inside running as opposed to that outside stretch stuff was incorporated. But I think again, Matt Nagy talks about the volume of his playbook. It's all there. And this is what they chose to do last Sunday night. And what I'm hoping is that it's kind of been the plan all along, knowing that once you got to December in Chicago, you're going to be more effective that way. It was not something that they changed up in the game when Trubisky got off to the bad start. It was clearly the game plan. The fact that Trubisky had a bad game made it look that much more impressive.
We've got open lines if you have concerns that you want addressed by our football expert, Hub Arkush, joining us in the Aurelio's Pizza Hotline. It's The Sauce, 312-644-6767. We got the word officially, finally, about Bryce Callahan and being done for the year. It is, in some circles, a big deal, and in others, it is not, because the play of the nickel corner might be, in large part, a product and a function of this much improved pass rush. Do you think this is Sherrick McManus and only Sherrick McManus, or do you think they'll find other ways of filling this void?
Well, Dan, I think they have other options. They certainly are giving Sherrick McManus the first crack at it. I do believe them when they say that they are optimistic about what McManus will do, because he's had to step in twice this year, and he hasn't just gotten the job done. He's actually stood out a little bit. He's played very well. He is, of course, the longest tenured Chicago Bear, been here since 2012. And I think they feel good about it. That said, Prince Amukamara has played inside in the past with the Giants. They could put Kevin Tolliver outside, Amukamara inside. They could try Kevin Tolliver inside, or I think that's less likely. They could change up some of what they're doing with Eddie Jackson, who can be pretty good in coverage. And they have signed this street free agent, Marcus Williams, who we honestly don't know much about yet, but we shall see. So I do think that it's potentially serious and critical, just because of how much slot corners have become more valuable in recent years, and Bryce Callahan was playing at an extremely high level. So you can't diminish the loss, but I think that, when you realize how fortunate this team has been with the lack of injuries and that they apparently are, in Kyle Long, you lose your best offensive lineman, and they've accounted for it fairly well. The line had its best game last Sunday night, one of its biggest challenges. So I suspect they believe they'll be okay. It'll be a great test this week. The difference in the football game the first time, that opening game of the season, was Randall Cobb's 75-yard touchdown at the end of the game that came with him in the slot. So we'll know more on Sunday. But my sense is, from being around all these guys yesterday, that they're fairly confident that they're going to be okay.
Steve is in LaGrange. He's on the Score with Hub.
Hi, thank you. Hey, Hub, you just alluded to it a little bit, but can you tell me what you ultimately think, how the Bears' defense will fare against Rodgers, as far as, what's the final score going to be?
Steve, I hope I'm not overreacting or drinking the Kool-Aid too much, but I don't think I am, because Lord knows if anything, I've been accused of the opposite over the years. But I just think that this team is not just good, but getting better week in and week out. And seeing not only how they played last Sunday night against a far superior team, and you got to remember, these guys got beat at home by the Cardinals 2 weeks ago. And I've been listening to what I think is this kind of silly narrative that somehow the biggest problem was Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy wasn't close to the biggest problem with this team. They played real well at home last week against a bad Atlanta team. But not only is this not the same Bears as the opening week of the season, this isn't the same Packers. And my sense is that these kids, after last Sunday night, want more. I think they want revenge for the opening game of the season. They haven't forgotten it. They know they can clinch the NFC North title, and they were genuinely, I don't want to say surprised, but certainly appreciative, and maybe not expecting the huge home field advantage that they had last Sunday night. I mean, think about it, guys. We've all been around a while. That was unique. You know, I don't remember the last time Soldier Field shook like that. And you know, with the Packers there and what's on the line, that's going to happen as well. So there is so much in the Bears' favor this Sunday that I think they're going to smoke them. I picked it 34-17 in the paper, and I'm not even sure it won't be a little better than 17 points. I think Mr. Trubisky is going to have a bounce-back game. The one thing that I'm anxious to see, I'm not going to say it concerns me, but I am anxious to see it, will Matt Nagy call the running game similar to the way he did against the Rams? Now, this is a base 3-4, not a 4-3, but they can run against anybody if they choose to do it the way they did last Sunday night. And if he sticks with that and then allows Trubisky to make his plays where he needs to, I look for this offense to take a big step forward this week. Now, if they go back to they're going to throw the ball 40 times and run it 15, then it's a different equation. So we'll have to see what happens.
In Dyer, Indiana, here's Jim. He's on the score. Say hi to Hub.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. One of the things I like to bring up, I was at the game last Sunday, and you are right. I've never heard Soldier Field be as loud as it was. I mean, the crowd was, like, totally into it. But what I wanted to bring up was after the Roquan Smith interception, they had the ball on the four, and it seems as if, and maybe you can disprove it if that's not the case, that the Bears have trouble with either illegal shifts or illegal formation penalties inside the five. There's a lot of motion that they're doing. I, you know, am a big proponent as far as when you're inside the five-yard line there, line it up big on big and just smash it in there and don't mess around. Could you speak to that a little bit? I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say. Thanks again.
Speak to the first part because I know that going into the game last week, the Bears were second in the league in illegal shift penalties. So, you know, obviously it's a bit of a problem. And I think they were first in the league in a combination of pre-snap and illegal shift penalties. So now maybe problem's not the right word, though, because, you know, again, this is the Matt Nagy offense. They're not going to give up on it. They're going to try and develop it further. They're not going away from it. And so it's this learning process that we keep hearing about. And basically, you know, they called them illegal shifts, but I think they were more actually on two occasions last week. One was Robinson and one was Bellamy, where they just didn't cover the tackle. You had a wide receiver who forgot that on that particular call. See, here's where it gets interesting. Whether you're the X, Y, or the Z, well, if you're in the slot, you're not. But if you're out wide on the other side, you know, there are still times when you're going to be on the line and times where you're going to be the flanker. In other words, where you can be in the backfield or whether you've got to cover the tackle. And they're obviously struggling with all the different play calls and formations to remember that. And that's Matt Nagy's offense. So I don't think he's going to get away from it in the red zone. I agree with you. I love pounding the ball once I'm down deep. I love looking for my big target like Adam Shaheen or Allen Robinson. And then he's got all these trick plays that he likes messing with down there. So I've learned my lesson, guys. I am not second guessing Matt Nagy's play calling. I mean, he took a 5-11 team and they're 9-4 and they're playing for the division title this week with a young quarterback who still doesn't know the whole system. So I don't think it's about the play calling in the red zone. I think it's about them getting better at executing it.
Steven in Highland Park, welcome to Sports Radio 670.
Hey, Hop, big fan. Hey, just wanted to ask you a quick question about Mitchell Trubisky. I personally love him. And just kind of see what you attribute to, you know, those three overthrows that were picks. And just, you know, find out what you attribute that to.
Well, Steve, I've actually never met Mitchell Trubisky, but I do like Mitch Trubisky. And I'm sorry, guys, I can't. It just
I know. It's okay.
Steve, I'm not making funny. I know.
Yes, you are, and that's fine.
Well, no, I don't mean to make fun of him. I just I don't understand it. I don't get why people want to change.
It makes no sense.
Anyway, there's two possibilities. I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday. When you are too pumped up, when you are consistently wild high, and he was not wild high all night. He missed a few throws badly behind receivers out in front of him, turfed one. But on all three picks, he was wild high. And that can be as simple as a mechanical breakdown because you're too jacked up and you're letting that ball fly and you're forgetting to follow through. You're getting out of your rhythm. That's one possibility. The other possibility is he was coming back off an injury to his throwing shoulder, and either he wasn't 100% healthy, which I tend to doubt because I don't think they're going to risk the franchise out there, or
it was rust, you know, or it was just that he hadn't been on the field at game speed and game situations. Most likely it was a combination of that and being a little too pumped up. And then, you know, we all know in whatever we do in life, sometimes when we struggle a little bit, we press and we struggle more. And so, you know, to me, I think it's most likely that it was just the time off, that he was too jacked up, that one bad move led to another. He got out of rhythm. The next thing you knew, the game was over. It may have even been, knowing how competitive Trubisky is, you know, the defense was so incredible, and they were making one big play after another. He may have been pushing himself to try and match him on the other side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They're all possibilities. But I do think that it was absolutely an outlier. We've seen too much of him this year to believe that that's the Mitch Trubisky at this stage of his development, and that's why I really expect him to have a much better game on Sunday.
Hub, we will encourage people to come out and join you. Joe's on Weed near Lincoln Park. The pre- and post-game shows, it's you and Patrick Manley, 9 a.m. until kickoff, and then it's you and Olin and Big Cat Williams 2 hours after the game. Joe's is the place on game day, over 120 televisions, so plenty of viewing opportunities. Hub, thanks as always.
All righty, guys. Thanks for having me. Take care. Thanks for being flexible with me today as well.
Of course. No worries, Hub. Of course. So that is Joe's on Weed. We've been there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.